a new original comedy series created and filmed here in the Lehigh Valley. Popcorn Pushers is about to make its YouTube debut after a series of successful movie theater screenings this past autumn. Set in a mob-owned theater called The Wing, Popcorn Pushers follows the Lumbago family as they try to keep their century-old business alive amidst superhero fan fights, secret movie piracy rings, and their loan shark bosses breaking kneecaps between screenings.
Now, normally, I would never condone watching a trailer on an iPhone. That is blasphemy.
Oh my God, play it already!
Like our prehistoric ancestors, we're drawn to gather around to tell each other stories. Stories of good and evil, heroes and villains, and sometimes stories of adults struggling with intimacy.
I'm a union certified projectionist, Norma. And you want me to give a sponge bath to some snack stand contraption?
Yeah, actually I do. Could you please help?
Sorry, I'm late. There was a Flash Criterion sale at the mall. It was madness. They called in the National Guard.
Since the gentlemen's club we frequent got taken over by the feds, we decided to make the wing here our new hangout, where we will continue doing our entrepreneurial activities.
A bunch of tech CEOs went nuts and started a screen-free cult in the woods. That you? The Neo-Luddites?
Haven't watched any movies yet.
I just died a little bit on the inside. It's okay. I'm fine.
I had no idea I was running film seminars at a mob-run movie theater. What will the university think of this?
Who do you think runs the university?
I borrowed money from Sid and George, and if I don't pay them back, they said they're gonna do to me what David Zaslav did to Batgirl.
They wouldn't dare.
Can you help me?
In my younger years, I was a notorious movie bootlegger.
I've been put on Earth just to suffer, just to serve nachos to nerds all of eternity.
Because our customers, the moviegoers, the regulars, won't leave us alone. They have to watch movies in the dark, surrounded by strangers. We get to watch surrounded by friends.
Aw, that's creepy, Cal.
No, it sounded more poignant in my head.
What you doing?
Violating U.S. Criminal Code 17, Section 501.
Right on. Well, enjoy the movie.
You know, it don't look too bad.
It looks fine. I'm kind of watching
just watch
myself,
it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, maybe tonight we have a nice Merlot. We put on those jackets we like, maybe the robes. And maybe we put the movie on.
Okay. I got nothing to do.
A little dark. A little ironic and deliciously funny, the series was co-written by showrunner Jaya Peck and J.J. Ellis, directed by Tom Peeler, and features an ensemble cast of standout local talent. It's a celebration of our love of movies and their theaters, as well as the Valley's thriving comedy community. Creator and showrunner Jeremiah Jaya Peck is a filmmaker based in Bethlehem, PA, who started making short films and features in high school. Went on to graduate from Ithaca College with a degree in cinema production and has been actively producing, writing, and directing live sketch comedy shows since 2015. He co-founded Pigeon City in 2019 and now teaches sketch comedy writing classes at Steel Stacks. This is WDIY 88.1 Public Radio, and you are tuned in to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain Kate Scuffle, your host. And this evening, I'm talking with comedy writer, director, teacher, and now filmmaker turned showrunner, Jaya Peck. Welcome, Jaya.
Hi, Kate. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you aboard with us. I've been hearing a great buzz ever since the screenings in November and December. So if you could share with our listeners a little bit, we would love to talk about it with the series and the characters in the show. What really was the spark for this? I mean, it's a sizable project. This is 13, 15 episodes, something like
13
that?
13 episodes. The entire season runs a little over 90 minutes long.
Okay.
So, yeah. The spark was, honestly, getting caught pirating a movie back in college. So, you know, it was just one of those things where they kind of cracked down on torrents and file sharing and... They got me, so I had to be very careful after then. But I was always really interested in piracy, the people who do it, the methods, the quality, how that kind of varies depending on where you get a pirated movie from. And this is like going back 25 years or so when things weren't as easy to come by sometimes. So piracy was just kind of the initial spark for the show.
Okay.
And, you know, then later I started working at movie theaters, and the kind of just the combination of those ideas just kind of started melding together. And that's just the kind of the genesis of Popcorn Pushers.
Well, and it's interesting because we'll talk about this too. It's the film really does bring together this kind of love of movies and movie theaters. But for me as an outsider, like an introduction into the private world of movies and movie theaters and movie fanatics.
Yes.
But also kind of celebrating and showcasing comic writing, the comedy community here in the Lehigh Valley. You teach and have worked a lot in this, obviously with sketch comedy. Talk a little bit for a moment just the difference between creating a sketch piece and then kind of trying to create what happens in the series. Does it feel like a series of sketches? Because to me, it feels like there's a really beautiful overriding arc to it.
Yeah, there was a kind of an attempt to... I have been producing sketch comedy for the last 10, 15 years or so, and this was kind of a big swing project in a, you know, different type of genre. You know, with sketch, you're always kind of creating little worlds for 5 minutes and then just destroying those little worlds. And after doing so many of those, I really just kind of wanted to create a world and then just live in it for a longer period of time. So there was an initial, you know, a directive to, or just self-directive to make the early episodes kind of sketches, you know, very short, 3 to 5 minutes long. But then as the season progresses, we started really branching out. And the last half of the season, there's some 15-minute episodes. The finale is about 25 minutes. So,
right.
And we're looking to kind of continue that for our second season, which we're working on right now, just to do some more, you know, longer form episodes.
So you are creating the second season now.
We're in the midst of brainstorming, outlining, and we're, you know, this first season was mainly me and my co-writer, JJ Ellis, who I've done a lot of sketch comedy with.
Okay.
And we're now looking to kind of expand our writer's room, and we're looking to really put that together end of February, early March. So we're excited.
It was interesting to me, too. It's funny. Given what we tend to think of sometimes with comedy, it would have been not surprising if simply it had been just really well written in terms of it was funny, it's comic, it's witty, it's whatever. But I was really struck, and if you look at the resumes and the bios of the group involved, the folks who are involved with this, how much that arc for me came from. I really got to know these characters, and like it does form this kind of family that you make along the way.
Like it's not something I invented. I've always loved shows like that, where the families you form at work. And, you know, also based on my own experiences working at movie theaters, I worked at the Regal, the former Regal Multiplex in Quakertown for a couple of years. I worked at the County Theater in Doylestown. And, you know, we it was just kind of like baptism by fire in terms of those really busy nights. But then we really bonded as groups together. We had after-hour screenings. We, you know, went out to, you know, restaurants and bars after. We helped each other out on our own film projects on weekends, things like that. And I was really just trying to recreate those carefree moments, you know, the last fun job I had before I had to really, you know, make a living was working at movie theaters. And, you know, this show was kind of an attempt to go back to that in a way. So
I was going to say, for our listeners, it's a wonderful look at that sense of also, again, a love of and a deep knowledge of movies as a form.
Mm-hmm.
I forget Cal's exact quote, Cal Lombago, the poor besought upon brother.
Stephen Bost.
Yes, the fabulous Stephen Bost, who says something about the kind of people we attract. It's a little interesting.
Yeah, not the most immensely balanced group of people, but you know, we definitely are passionate about our likes and dislikes in this medium of moving images.
So once the family kind of comes together working at the theater, at the Wing, they have a series of some obstacles and challenges. Not the least in some ways are the management. So where did this kind of Sopranos angle come from?
Oh, geez. I am the biggest, I'm the second biggest Soprano fan, only because I never lived in New Jersey. So this, it was just one of those like shows that really kind of opened my eyes to what television can do. And in creating this show, there were versions of the show that didn't really have any kind of organized crime, but then it kind of just clicked together. It kind of created this sense of comic danger that kind of was always hanging over the characters' heads. And honestly, it's kind of like a metaphor for our time, where like maybe some of the worst people are in charge these days, and we just have to kind of live with that and, you know, do what we can day to day to get through it. And yeah, those two actors, Justin Vrona and Evan Stutchy play the main gangsters. They're both incredible improvised comics, and they had such a great built-in chemistry. So it really added this really interesting flavor to the show.
How did it feel to work with performers? So I'm assuming, given their backgrounds, they're probably pretty comfortable with improvising, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And yet it's scripted. It's very tight. I mean, how much ebb and flow was there in the process?
They basically stuck to the scripts about 90-95%, but we were always, you know, every day I show up to set, I was always like, I'm going to be like 70% ready. You know, I really want to be open to any kind of discoveries we make on the set, you know, when we're running through lines. You know, what me and JJ wrote, is not scripture. It's a malleable, piece of work, and we just want what's best for the show. And if actors were always coming with like better punchlines, better gags, and not even just dialogue gags, just like visual gags, just, you know, blocking or just ways they react to things. So that was just kind of, you know, we were lucky to have most of our cast kind of knew each other already. So that really just kind of, we had a baked in sense of, you know, funny dynamics and familiarity with each other.
And the theater, you were lucky enough to work with the Emmaus Theater. So it's a
fabulous
stand-in for the Wing.
Yeah, they were incredible. Bobby over there and the whole staff, they opened up their doors to us. We filmed for three long days over this spring and summertime, and we couldn't have done without them. And we just really wanted that kind of old, like almost a century old place that has history baked into the walls, and, you know, people coming in that are, you know, either first time there or like maybe they used to work there, you know, as a teenager, you know, during the 60s or 70s. So, the Emmaus was great. And then we ended up filming, you know, some other scenes at the screen printing operation, LVAC, up in Bath, just because we needed just another location to have back rooms, offices, things like that. So it was just kind of a combination of these two locations. The power of movie magic and editing, we kind of blended them seamlessly together.
And ArtsQuest as well, which doesn't know probably about the piracy being committed on its
site. You know, they didn't ask to see a script, so... you know, I love ArtsQuest. I teach classes there, done a lot of shows there, and they're great collaborators. So, it was just one of those things that we just really wanted just to kind of showcase all these great organizations and talent in the area, and just kind of put them all in a stew and see what we came up with.
And in a moment, I want to let our listeners know it's important they know how to find this fabulous series. But can you explain the pink post-it notes to me? It's interesting. In the offices, it's just me, maybe. There's pink post-it notes all over the family offices.
Oh, yes.
And it makes it feel so much like a family office that I found myself trying to read them and thinking,
oh, okay.
That's probably not the intention here. But there is that sense of, I think, the theater itself, the Emmaus Theater and the offices it used. Everything has a very, that really comfortable lived-in feeling, like there is so much history and relationships going on here that it's just really rich and lovely. Mm-hmm.
We had some great production designers, namely Daniel Moyer, who did a lot of the set decoration, especially in the office spaces. And we just tried to lay some history of the theater, you know, just the day-to-day operations that want us to do, you know, got to order popcorn seeds, got to, you know, get the marquee out on the sidewalk and things like that. So just ways. Just I thank you for picking up on some of those jokes. You know, that's we're so benefited from a high definition video. You know, so
we're going to talk about this more when we come back from break, which is coming up at the moment. But I want folks to know again, we're going to talk about this at youtube.com/@popcornpushers. You can go there to subscribe. Drops January 20th, right?
Correct. We'll be starting to drop weekly episodes Tuesday, January 20th. And we'll be doing about maybe two or three a week. We're still figuring out the release schedule, but January 20th.
Okay.
No binge model. We want people to sit with it and enjoy it and, you know, create a dialogue. And we're really excited for people to start checking it out January 20th.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle. And tonight I've been talking about the original comedy series Popcorn Pushers, making its YouTube debut this month, with creator, comedy writer, and showrunner Jaya Peck. We'll be right back after this short break.
WDIY's overnight delivery service is a refreshing mix of vintage and current popular music. You'll hear many of the artists played on The Blend and some from our folk, blues, and world programs. WDIY Overnight is a continuous mix of music popular with night owls and late shift workers. Listen Monday through Saturday night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. and Sundays from midnight to 5 a.m. for this great mix of hand-picked music on WDIY.
Welcome back to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon here on WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I'm your host, Kate Scuffle, and my guest tonight is Jaya Peck, a comedian, writer, director, and now creator showrunner with the new comedy series Popcorn Pushers, debuting on YouTube on January 20th. So welcome back, Jaya. Before we went to break, we were talking a lot about the series itself, et cetera, which we'll continue to do, but tell us a little bit about your background, what brought you here, what Pigeon City is, what the work is like.
Sure. I've been making short films, low-budget features since high school, and went to college, Ithaca College, where I majored in cinema photography, minored in marijuana, things like that. I've always just enjoyed making movies with my friends. You know, I've always kind of gravitated towards crime comedies. We talked about The Sopranos. I was really love some of those just really kind of black comedies, you know, really dark stuff. So just been doing that for as long as I can. And I discovered the Lehigh Valley comedy scene about 15 years ago, kind of took the improv, the sketch classes, worked with some other folks doing shows like that. And then I was ready to start my own group with, like, you know, people I'd always really enjoyed working with. And we formed Pigeon City in late 2019. And we were in the midst of producing our first live sketch show. We had a scheduled date of March 28th, 2020. And we were in rehearsals. We had videos made. We had costume fittings. Props were being produced. And then we had to shut down, obviously. But we had, you know, a finished sketch show ready to go. So we sat on it for about a year and a half. And we finally were able to produce that show end of 2021, which was just such a delight, such a kind of a cathartic moment, honestly. Yeah. And just bringing out all the people we enjoyed working with in the community, you know, not just sketch, but improv and stand-up folks. And we've been producing about two shows a year ever since. This past year, we kind of took a break just to kind of focus on this project, but we do hope to do more shows soon. I just love sketch. Like I said, it's just, you create these little worlds. It's kind of this kind of like comedy chemistry set where you get to, you know, stick your feet in all kinds of different genres. You know, one week you're making like a Western, the next you're making like a weird fitness commercial. And you get to just learn a lot about just how to, like, you know, kind of parody different vibes or styles. And we have a storage locker just full of this most interesting props and costumes. You know, we're really looking to kind of maybe even reuse some of them for a second season for Popcorn. So. And yeah, it's just kind of working with a lot of fun collaborators, and we can't wait to do more of that.
That's interesting. And you're working again, you are brainstorming and looking at the second series of Popcorn Pushers. Mm-hmm. It's interesting given the Valley comedy community, and again, the backgrounds of some of the actors that are, that are working in the series, casting, did you have folks in mind? Did people kind of, did knowing who was available in some ways possibly shape characters or vice versa?
It was a lot of just like, we're going on a road trip. Who do we want to like load up into the van with us? Yeah. You know? So a lot of was just like working with people that, you know, admittedly we were friends with. So that kind of, they got the job through that essentially. Yeah. It's just kind of like you're organizing, like you're making a soup. You're just looking for different ingredients and, like, you know, how does, you know, Steve and Erica, you know, kind of form like the basis of this food we're making. And then we had like some spices with Anthony and Gabby and Justin and Evan and Terrence and Lisa and Danielle and everyone. Yeah. And it's like, you're kind of conducting an orchestra. You're just like, you know, I need more saxophones here. I need more percussion there. And it's just something you kind of just feel out. We didn't have a traditional casting call. Uh-huh. We did have some, you know, some really gracious like background talent or just supporting characters that we kind of pulled from people we knew, but you know, for low budget filmmaking, it's mainly just like, when are we shooting? Who can make the date? Not just like, who do we want? And then like, let's change the schedule based on them. It's just really, you really have to lock down the location and the time before you can, you know, make any progress on things like that.
And it's a large, I mean, there's scenes that obviously is a movie theater, incorporate a lot of the community into the audience, particularly when Knife Dude is
The
released.
Knife Dude premiere,
There's a
yes.
whole Knife Dude subtext subculture there, which would be well, what would you call it? Slasher horror film
Slasher horror
subculture.
comic book. It was just my way of just kind of reckoning with like fan culture and just some of the more extreme elements that you kind of see mainly online. And but you know, it's a show that takes place in the real world, so we just try to bring that to life. And yeah, it was just a fun way just to kind of add like our own little kind of IP intellectual property into the show
Right.
itself and create a whole world. We have a trailer, we have a poster, things
Yes.
like that. So just ways just to kind of just add texture and life and history to the world itself. And then, you know, it's always just fun just to kind of go back to those wells and, you know, expand and, you know, and
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, no, I was going to say it's fun as for listeners as you proceed through the series. One of the things that's lovely too, you kind of get introduced to most folks up front, but as it goes on, as focus shifts, you really do get to know each person a little bit better with a little backstory, a little sense of them, and get invested in a way that makes, without any spoilers, the finale really kind of rewarding and lovely.
Yes, so that was a blast to film. We did try to squeeze way too many pages into one day. That was like a we filmed it basically one day for all of the stuff that there's.
Wow.
There's the cast of the show. They all watched basically the Oscars on television. So,
right, yeah.
Yeah, that was like a 8 a.m. start to 11 p.m. Wrap day. But so apologies to our cast and crew, but they were all rock stars. And, you know, we never lost an ounce of professionalism throughout the entire day. So, but yeah, that was just like those are the parts of, you know, shows like sitcoms and, you know, workplace comedy series that I love. Just you get to kind of like lay all that pipe in the early part of the season and then start paying it off.
Yeah.
You know, you plant seeds and then they start blossoming.
So again, for our listeners, tell us how, if we have been unfortunate enough to not see this yet, how do we tune in? What do we do?
You can follow us on YouTube at Popcorn Pushers. We're also pretty active on Instagram, Facebook. We're even on Blue Sky. So we're always trying to post stuff behind the scenes, photos, images. We have some fun trailers out there. We try to just keep people in the loop of what we're working on. You can see behind me, we built this miniature movie theater.
That's right.
Yeah, we do for all the exterior shots of the show. It's a miniature built by our production designer, Daniel Moyer, designed by cast member Evan Stutz. And we just kind of wanted to have our own kind of Mr. Rogers neighborhood for exterior establishing shots of the theater, kind of embracing the artifice and having that. We have every episode opens with like a little marquee joke.
Yes.
That were mainly written by J.J. Ellis and just kind of our Simpsons chalkboard gag, just another way to kind of add a little extra laugh here and there throughout each episode. So we're definitely looking to expand more of that next season.
And for yourself, is there any potential? I mean, I know that Arts Quest, which has been real home to a lot of the comedy activity in the community with the expansion and the new building that's happening. Does it sound like there'll be more opportunities there, more interaction, maybe some...
Yeah, we're definitely looking at, yeah, Pigeon City especially. You know, we love doing shows at Steel Stacks. We're looking forward to that new comedy theater. We would love the opportunity to do a new show there because I'm hearing some, you know, just the details about there's a dedicated comedy space they're building there. So we're really excited to hopefully be doing comedy in a proper theater. Not, you know, we love Arts Quest, but it's always just like, here's a movie theater or like, here's a multi-purpose room. We're going to build a stage for you. They've been great about it, but we love to have a proper comedy
right,
space.
Right.
So yeah, we're really excited about that.
We spoiled.
That's right.
Just last thoughts. We're almost out of time, unfortunately, but we know where to go. We go to youtube.com/fpopcornpushers. Social media, et cetera, et cetera. Aside from a second series, other thoughts you're teaching, working with the Valley community in terms of comedy, other film projects?
No other film projects, but we are in the midst of trying to produce something called a sketch cram show, where basically a team of writers and performers would write and produce and perform a live sketch show all in about 12 hours. So that's something that I've been talking with some venues about to try to do this summer, just kind of a sketch gauntlet type of show where, you know, just there's no overthinking it. Let's just all get together in a room, 9 a.m., start writing scripts, and we have a 9 p.m. showtime. So that's something to look out for some more details about that soon.
All right. Very good. Yeah. Thank you again for being with us. That's, folks, again, Popcorn Pushers, locally produced, original new work showcasing not only Valley locations and Valley talent, but the Valley comedy scene and the Emmaus Theater and all that is fabulous, dark, odd, ironic, and wonderful about movies and movie people. So thank you again, Jaya.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
And thanks to you, our listeners out there. I've been your host, Kate Scuffle, today, and I look forward to visiting with you again soon, right here in the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon on WDIY 88.1 FM, Lehigh Valley's public radio. Lehigh Valley Arts Salon is supported by the Dexter F. and Dorothy H. Baker Foundation, who believes lives are enriched through a vibrant and enduring arts community, and invites you to join them in supporting the arts.